Excellent. That's great. Well, thanks, guys. You guys can... Oh, you've gone. Okay. Fantastic. No, that's right. Friday night service is not this Friday. It's the following Friday, the 13th of September. So that's just in case you all wanted to rock up this week. Well, if you did, you could, yeah, join the youth. It would have worked out. All right, but we got another clip to watch before I preach this morning, but just some popular presents for Dad. Come on, someone tell me, who had jocks and socks this? One of the most popular presents on Father's Day is jocks and socks. No one had jocks and socks? No one? No? All right. Well, the most popular present, all right? I've looked this up. The internet is my witness. The most popular present is a GPS. The reason is we don't like to stop and ask directions. So it's become the number one present for dads. And that's a good thing, right? Because we don't like being told that we're going the wrong way, do we, dads? Any kind of man, actually. What do you mean? I'm just taking a detour. All right. And the other one is car merchandise. Who likes car stuff? All right. So anyway, all right. But I want to talk today about the importance of fathers. The importance of fathers. And wasn't it great? There were some wise answers. Our kids are growing up, some of them. And so that was good. I didn't really mean that funnily, but anyway, that's okay. And you know, let's just watch this clip from Barack Obama about fathers.
He may be the most powerful man in the world, but Barack Obama wants us to remember he is also a dad. So on Sunday, he gave a speech about it.
This Sunday's Father's Day, and so I want to take a moment to talk about the most important job many of us will ever have, and that's being a dad.
But then he took a moment to open his heart about the father he never had.
I never really knew my own father. I was raised by a single mom and two wonderful grandparents who made incredible sacrifices for me. And there are single parents, like my mom, all across the country who do a heroic job raising terrific kids. But I still wish I had a dad who was not only around, but involved. Another role model to teach me what my mom did her best to instill. That's why I try every day to be, for Michelle and my girls, what my father was not for my mother and me.
He made the candid remarks during a weekly address to the nation in a bid to inspire men across the country to be the man his father never was.
If there's one thing I've learned along the way, it's that all our personal successes shine a little less brightly if we fail at family. That's what matters most. When I look back on my life, I won't be thinking about any particular legislation I passed or policy I promoted.
Come on.
I'll be thinking about Michelle and the journey we've been on together. I'll be thinking about Sasha's dance recitals and Malia's tennis matches, about the conversations we've had and the quiet moments we've shared. I'll be thinking about whether I did right by them and whether they knew every day just how much they were loved.
Well, given that that was broadcast to 300 million Americans, if they didn't know before, they certainly do now.
So happy Father's Day to all the dads out there, and have a great weekend.
Thanks, Barack. Good speech. Most powerful man in the world. Nothing matters except family as much. So the importance of fathers. We want to show the next generation who we really are. You know, I have a PowerPoint of my first car, which I'd like to show to you this morning. It was probably bog like that too, but anyway. if anyone has one of those cars, great. But it was a 1975 Toyota Corona. I used to go surfing, so I ended up having a lift kit on the back of it. I used to carry around an air compressor and let down the tires because I'd drive along the beach in it to go surfing. And who has fond memories of their first car? This is a dad thing. All of us? Pretty much all of us. You know, every time I drove this car, now I was 17 years old, okay? So I'm just letting you know, I don't do this. is now. But when I was 17 years old, I used to thought I was like king of the road. Anyone with me this morning? I used to wear a Toyota cap when I drove the car. And I wear it straight on, not cool like everyone does these days. And I always got told, when I got to the office, I used to work for Grace Brothers Removals because my dad got me one of my first jobs. And so I'd drive from Balcatta out to Kewdale, where Grace Brothers Removals used to be. And, I had fond memories of that car because my dad and I went together to purchase the vehicle. And Dad and I didn't always get on, but he was always there for me in some of those bigger decisions. And there's nothing much bigger at when you're 17 years old in a car, is it? Is there? And so we went down to Paceway Mitsubishi and bought this Toyota Corona. I remember it was about $3,500. I only had $1,800. I know he chipped in the rest. He wanted to help me get a head start in life. He never did it since, but it was a way that him and I actually... he just would help with some of those bigger things. You know, I blew up the differential in that car. All the men will understand that you don't kind of just do that. But, he helped me repair it. I got a speeding ticket one time when I was carrying a whole lot of young people for youth group back from an event. Don't do that, you guys. Somehow Dad managed to reduce the sentence. I don't know how. He went into the police shop. Who'd like a dad like that? See, I deserve to do it tougher. But Dad helped out. He wasn't always pleased with my behavior, but he always tried to help out. He was showing me that no matter what I had done, which was sometimes pretty stupid, he still loved me. And this is the message of the Bible. The gospel message is that no matter what we have done, we still have a loving Savior who cares for us, who loves us, and that no matter what, he has the Father heart. And as Christian people, the majority of us here today, we want to mimic the Father's heart and the Father's love. And that's what I loved about that clip from Barack Obama, that no matter what else was going on in life, we still did the main things as best we could. And yes, we'll stuff those up too from time to time, but it's okay because we are showing that we still care and are still loved when it comes to some of those important things in life. We still love on our kids. And I'm not just talking about those who are natural dads, because we can all help. We have a church here of, nearly 60 kids every week come to church. We all play a part. We all of us, whether we're woman, man, young person, we all have a part to play in the family of God. And God expects us to do our best in bringing them into the Word of God and showing the love of God. And so Solomon's advice to parents, we're ready for this? Teach your children to choose the right path, and when they are older, they will remain in it. I'm not sure of all the details, but when I was about 10 years old, we started attending church. We hadn't gone to church before that point in time. My brother was 8, I was 10. And one thing I would have to say is that we became more interactive. In other words, we became more social. We got involved with other people's lives. And there were some things which I want to talk about this morning. God intends for his people to work together and share together. I remember for years having Youth Connect in our house. And Dad was always a bit of a character. And I say Dad was because his mum's still alive, but Dad died over 20 years ago, and he had some unusual tendencies. I guess that's where I get some of mine from. And But you know what? He would always open up his home. And sometimes we had this back room that he'd added on to renovate. And we always used to joke about it was for the youth, because there was always, we had a swimming pool. And there was always 30, 35 youth around that. Andrew will remember. Around the room. And, you know, we'd share life together and we'd mess about and we'd joke around. And it was something that I remember to this day as being a child of that family. And a long period of time, there was, you know, four of us that would buy pizzas and go back to my place, but we had one thing in common, our love for Christ. The Christians I hung out with, they weren't pushovers. The world seems to think that, you know, we're God-loving, that we're kind of pansy-ish. Nothing of the sort. We actually mean business. And we're not afraid to show who we are. Because that's what a real man, in fact, is. And it says here, teach your children to choose the right path. Train a child in the way he should go. My dad was like I said, a little unusual in his mannerisms, but he remained faithful to his wife for 30 years until he passed away. And he never gave up loving Jesus, even when he suffered. He was committed. He would sing out a tune. He would go red in the face in church. As a 16-year-old, I'd get so embarrassed. But you know, one thing stands out. He never stopped loving God. We don't need to be perfect dads. Who's glad about that? We don't need to be perfect adults. We can't be anyway. But we do have to show by our actions that we love Jesus. Whether or not you're a dad or a mum today, how you behave and the things that you do each week influence those around you. You can't get away from it. See, the battleground is not so much our land, our property, our freedoms. Our battleground is our children. Now, all of us here as adult people, or younger youth, we have a responsibility. The responsibility is the generation under us that is coming up. So the kingdom of God needs strong men and women who won't turn their back on God. I look at Suzanne Parkinson here this morning, solo mum, but always in the house of God. Come on. And what happens is that they know that the love of God will win out, and that no matter where our children's hearts may be right now, they know that it. All they have to do is say, you know what, I need, because mum's already there, or dad's already there. And so it is an incredible thing. And so don't give up on doing the main things as best as we can. We don't have to get them all right. We don't have to have the best attitude all the time, although I know it helps. You know, the kingdom of God needs strong men and women who don't turn their back on God. A great deal of training is done by showing someone the correct way to do it, the correct technique. Now, I was at the gym the other day, and I was talking with an ex-Navy SEAL, an African-American, and him and I were kind of training together this particular day, and he was a big black man, you know, he was solid. And this guy come up to me, young fella come up to us, and he goes, will you help me with these weights? And he goes, I want to lift 53 kilos in each hand. And not only that, he was on a bench, so he's, you know, he's almost horizontal, but not quite. And we looked at each other and we go, all right, that's what you want to do. So we handed him the 53 kilo dumbbell each, put it on each side of him, helped him up. And you know, he's kind of like, not only he was supposed to be using it for his pectorals, all right? That's your little boobies, okay? But his whole body's, because he couldn't hold him, but he's moving his whole body like this. You know, the worst kind of training. You're not just working your pectorals. Hey, Jared. Your work, you're using your whole body. You're not isolating. So we looked at each other, us older guys, and we go, he'll learn. We were exactly the same when we were his age. The truth be known. Oh, there they are. It's a bit like, yeah, anyway. Let me read to you. Judges 2, come with me. Go to Bible, Judges 2. Judges 2, verse 6. Staying on this training and the right technique. After Joshua sent the people away, this is verse 6. Each of the tribes left to take possession of the land allotted to them. And the Israelites served the Lord throughout the lifetime of Joshua and the leaders who outlived him. Those who had seen all the great things the Lord had done for Israel. Then Joshua, son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died at the age of 110. They buried him in the land he had inherited at Timnath-Serah in the hill country of Ephraim, north of Mount Gaash. After that generation died, another generation grew up who did not acknowledge the Lord or remember the mighty things he had done for Israel. Then the Israelites did what was evil in the Lord's sight and worshipped the images of Baal. They abandoned the Lord, the God of their ancestors, who had brought them out of Egypt. See, what is obvious from this passage is that Joshua and his leaders were staying the course. Can I say this morning, whatever we do, let's stay the course. You know, Joshua and his leaders, whatever we do, however things seem to be, whatever the circumstances, and sometimes they're tough, sometimes they're almost unbearable, but we stay the course of faith regardless. Because there's nothing sweeter than the love of God. At the end of the day, if we've lost everything, but we have God's love, we've got everything. Joshua would say over and over again to him and his leaders, honor the Lord and serve him wholeheartedly. Turn to your neighbor and say, honor the Lord and serve him wholeheartedly. See, there must be frequent events and things that we do in our lives, things we may take time to show that we honor God, right? The next generation is depending on us. They've got no one else. They're depending on who? They're depending on us. So when I look back at my quirky dad and some of the things I'm so glad that regardless of that and some of the strange things that he, his mannerisms, but he loved Jesus. And the correct training is to attend church. Come on. That's why you're here. The correct training is to serve him wholeheartedly. Your kids will know if you do or you don't. And I'm not just talking about our own kids. It shows if we love God or not. It becomes who we are. It's on us. The Holy Spirit's either on us or he's left us and departed the building and everyone else knows it. So the correct technique is to act like a Christian and make room for him in our weeks. When I think about Mum and Dad opening their home, I think, well, I'm so glad. I'm so grateful. Mum was a Sunday school teacher for years and years. She full-time job as a school teacher. But every Sunday, at one stage, she had 250 children she'd look after. She was a boss of. Wow! So I'm thankful that I have that kind of upbringing. And I know we all don't, but we can all help one another with the generation that don't have families like I had. We can all help one another grow up enjoying the Savior, the one who loved us regardless. Joshua 22, verse 28, I think I've got the PowerPoint for this. Look at this copy of the Lord's altar that our ancestors made. It is not for burnt offerings or sacrifices. It is a reminder of the relationship both of us have with the Lord. We must have altars in our life that prove our relationship with God. It can't be Easter and Christmas, can it? Do you think that would be enough? There's got to be things that are part of our life that show that we are Christian, to show that we're disciples of the living God. Build your walk with God. Serving the Lord is living in freedom. Why do they always say, brought you out of Egypt? Because when they came out of Egypt, they were free. When sin leaves us, we are free. And yes, we still sin. But isn't it good that we don't have to hold that? There's no condemnation in Christ. We're free individuals. Joshua 24:5, I brought you out as a free people. I gave you victory over them. You know, from the very beginning in Genesis, it talks about that we are to be His people and that we actually, the word is dominate. We rule through what God is in our lives. And so when there's sickness or when there's things, well, at least we give God an opportunity. We pray first and see if God, before we actually go to the doctor, if God rules, then we've got to put some of these little things into place in our lives. Isn't that what godly parenting is? We give God every opportunity to be God for us. Joshua's clear. Joshua 24:15, he said this, as for me and my family, we will serve the Lord. As for me and my family, we will serve the Lord. That is one of the greatest statements for a man to own. As for me and my family, we've served the Lord. If you're serious about it, as I've said, we have to show it. We have to get into the correct training. We have to have the right techniques in place. Otherwise, we're going to get damaged. Because otherwise what happens is that sin actually takes over and sin leads to decay. Before we know it, we're out of the will of God. I know which one I want to choose. So I've been saying it for a few weeks, believe, accept, and embrace. We can't just believe and have head knowledge. We can accept that we trust God. But ultimately, our behavior, when we embrace all of God, we behave like we're a Christian. You know, there was Jesus, when he was on the earth, they called out to him 10 lepers, and he said, go show yourself to the priests. And on the way, all 10 were healed. Pretty good, isn't it? Like, you know, didn't even get to the priest, so they were all healed. God's extraordinary. God wants to be extraordinary in every one of our lives as well. He wants to be extraordinary. But what I like about this passage of Scripture, or what's sad as well, is that only one came back and followed. One came back and acknowledged who Christ was. Let's not be the nine who don't really give two hoots about what God had done for their lives. Which is not just about God meeting a need and then we go off our separate ways. It's about a relationship and a walk with God that is ultimately the thing that's going to transform our world. It's our faith that makes us well. It's what Jesus said to the one that came back. And it's our faith that impacts the lives of those around us. It's our faith that keeps the next generation serving God wholeheartedly. And so we live in a culture that approves of turning its back on God. you know, this election, let's be sure that we don't elect something that is against the word of God. And so at least let's do the right thing in that respect. We've got a duty in that respect to actually look and say, you know what? I can't actually vote for them because they don't follow the line of the Bible. See, a lot of people think that the Bible's obsolete today. Well, if we're Christian people, we're going to be Joshua, by like Joshua, and say, no, we stand for the living God. So, saving our children and the next generation is a fight of our own faith. It's a war God wants us to win. If you're a father here this morning, you have a responsibility to the next generation to bring them up honoring the Lord and serving Him wholeheartedly. I read about a little girl who drew a pretty picture. She went into her dad's office, crawled on his lap and said, Daddy, come and see my picture. And the dad said, not now, honey, I'm busy. 10 minutes later, she came back, crawled back onto his lap. Daddy, will you come and see my picture now? Dad got frustrated. Can't you see I'm busy? Don't bother me right now. I'll come and see it later when I'm ready. A couple of hours later, the dad came out of his office. And he said to his daughter, can I see the picture now, sweetheart? And the girl says, sure. And it was a picture of her, her brother, and mum standing on the lawn with the family dog with big smiles on their faces. But Dad noticed that he wasn't in the picture. So Dad said, that's a nice picture, sweetheart, but how come I'm not in the picture? And the girl said, because you were working in your office, Daddy. You see, today, if we believe in God, if we've accepted Him, then too we must embrace Him in our lives. And time is a gift that can never be given back. Once time is given, it never comes back. And time reveals the priorities of your life. And if you want to win the war for your children, if you want to win the war for yourself, if you want to win the war for the next generation, you've got to invest time. You be a Joshua and on the Lord and serve Him wholeheartedly today, whoever we are. Will you practice the right techniques? Will you show others how you are a Christian by the way that you behave? Oh dear. Finish on this story. It was a typical scenario of young boys debating whose father was best. And this discussion highlighted who their fathers knew. And the first boy started the debate by claiming his father knew the mayor. He was topped by the second boy who said, that's nothing. My dad knows the governor. The stakes were getting higher. And the eavesdropping father wondered what his young son would say about him. And the little boy shot back, so what? My dad knows God. Come on. My dad knows God. So may our children, our own or others, always be able to say, my dad knows. Let me finish. Why don't we stand to our feet? I want to read Psalm 78. Let's get it on the screen. Psalm 78, we're going to finish on this scripture. See, we've got to keep telling stories of the goodness and faithfulness of God. Can we do that together as a church? Let's keep the stories flowing. So I've been asking people, let's get the video, and Dave and Claire can probably help out with the interviews of someone that's good at interviews. We're going to keep the good news stories flowing. Is that good? But this is why. Psalm 78, verse 1. I'm going to read it from the New Living Translation. Read it with me. Is it on the screen? Okay. Is it New Living Translation? Okay, it's slightly different. Oh, yeah. Here we go. Let's read it together. O my people, listen to my teaching. Open your ears to what I'm saying. For I will speak to you in a parable. I will teach you hidden lessons from our past. Stories we have heard and know. Stories our ancestors handed down to us. We will not hide these truths from our children. but will tell the next generation about the glorious deeds of the Lord. We will tell of His power and the mighty miracles He did. For He issued His decree to Jacob. He gave His law to Israel. He commanded our ancestors to teach them to their children, so that the next generation might know them. Even the children not yet born, that they in turn might teach their children. So each generation can set its hope anew on God, remembering His glorious miracles and obeying His commands. Lord, we pray today. We pray in Jesus' name that we would seal the word in our hearts. That we would not only serve God for ourselves, but Lord, have a bigger picture of the kingdom of God. And that we would nurture, we would care, and we would be there in those important moments, but most of all, that we would spend time so that the next generation would know that as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. The people of God said, amen. God bless you. They're going to watch a clip. You may sit down. We're going to watch this clip to finish. Okay.